So earlier this week, I was driving in Canberra. I think I was actually dropping Father Ken at the airport. And as I'm going down the highway, this Ferrari comes up past me. Beautiful red Ferrari, big fat tires, that beautiful hum to the engine comes up, overtakes, pulls in front of us. And I couldn't help but look at this and just think, wow, that is a really nice fig leaf. Like, if you're going to cover your nakedness somehow, that's as good as it gets. But that's what it was. And that's what so much of our life is. You know, we just heard this story of Genesis, that Adam and Eve have been tempted. We know the story so well, we probably fall asleep when we hear it. But they're tempted. Now, the interesting thing is that they're tempted, and it says as soon as they take the fruit, their eyes are opened. Now, that's always a confusing line, as though their eyes were closed before, as though they've now actually gained true knowledge. It is true. Their eyes were open, but particularly that their eyes were opened inwards. That now they see their nakedness. Now they see their vulnerability. Now they see their weakness. And this sudden thing rises up in the heart of humanity, this need to try and cover myself. I'm scared of my vulnerability. Until that time, it wasn't an issue because they had the protection of the Father. It's as though until that moment, they were clothed with the love of God, with the hand of God protecting them. Suddenly, their eyes are open to the fact that they're alone. They're scared. Now, when we read the scriptures, it's always important to approach it that the scriptures interpret us. It's not that we try and interpret the scriptures and work them out. It's that the scriptures are working us out. So when we read this, this is actually saying a profound truth about who we are. We are naked, we are scared, we are vulnerable, and we are doing everything we can to cover that. Now just take a moment to look over your life. Look over the how you act, how you dress, how you know, operate in the world. So much of it is a fig leaf. So much of it is me trying to cover over the fact that I'm insecure. You know, when people go to work, they kind of put on this work demeanor. I'm confident. I'm in control. Deep down, I'm a scared kid. You know, deep down, I just feel like I'm going to drown. But I put on this persona. You know, we do it through things we purchase. You know, the house we buy, the car we drive, the job we have. You know, the way that I talk to people. When you talk down to someone, it's a fig leaf. You know, it's like I'm scared that I'm going to get stepped on, so I'm going to step on you first. I'm going to make sure that my weakness is covered and I'm not going to get attacked. And I'll do whatever it takes to keep myself safe, even if you end up suffering. That is sin. You know, we can talk about sin as being transgressing a law. We can talk about it in the terms of, I've broken a commandment. But the natural thing is to think, well, where did the commandment come from? Why am I following this? If you actually bring it back to its origin, what we're running from is something fundamentally human. The commandments are really trying to help us to navigate this world where we're naked, we're vulnerable, we're weak. This brings us to the temptation in the desert. Jesus goes into the desert. We have this beautiful line. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, after which he was hungry. It's the most obvious line in the gospel. But what was he doing? What was Jesus doing in the desert? Yes, he was being tempted. But if you actually look deeply into what the temptations were, it was a temptation to leave behind his humanity. And what does Jesus do? He chooses to embrace his humanity. Now, of all people on this planet, he is the one guy who has the right to choose divine power. You're hungry, he can turn the stones into bread. He can jump off the buildings. He can do whatever he wants. But this is the beginning of our redemption. This is the beginning of Jesus undoing what happened in the garden, where we tried to be God without God, where we tried to take the divinity in our own hands and leave God out of the picture. And ever since, we've been grasping and fighting to be stronger than we actually are. We've been trying to gain power. You go through Genesis to chapter 11, you've got the story of the Tower of Babel, where the whole of humanity is now being driven mad by their weakness, and so they band together. They start to use their intellect to say, if we work together, we can reach the heavens. We'll do this by our own strength, by our own power. We will run away from our weakness. That desire has been in humanity ever since. But what does Jesus do? He embraces the very thing we're running away from. He chooses to be hungry. He chooses to be helpless. He chooses to be powerless, vulnerable. He stands on the edge of this massive tower and he chooses to be helpless. He chooses to have his life at risk. He chooses to be driven mad by hunger and not create a solution. It's all the same temptation we go through every day. The temptation comes in a different form, but it's the same thing: to run away from your humanity. This is really where the battle of sin takes place. Every day you are faced with your vulnerability, you are faced with your weakness, your helplessness. Think through every sin you've committed in the last week. And I think what you'll find is it was all coming out of fear. Fear that I'm not going to be loved and I've got to do something. Fear that I'm going to be rejected, so I need to strike first. Fear that I'm not respected, I'm not going to be treated well. I need to do something, I need to take control, I need to grasp hold of a fig leaf to cover myself. There is something profound about this gospel reading where Jesus is showing us what actually is the journey of holiness. It all comes back to returning to relationship with the Father. The thing that Adam and Eve abandoned was that dependence upon God. They didn't want to be children. They didn't want to be children of God. Now, you ask any child if they want to be a child, they're going to say, no, I want to be an adult. You know, you see 5-year-olds strutting around like they're 35. You know, they're desperate to grow up. They're desperate to get autonomy. And we never grow out of that. We want to be in control. I want to have my own ability, my own autonomy in the world. People are terrified of growing old because they're afraid that they're going to go back and regress back to being helpless and dependent. This is why euthanasia is such a massive issue in the world today. No one wants to be dependent. And yet this is the very message that Jesus is proclaiming to us. You cannot enter the kingdom unless you become like a little child. Unless you come to a place where you're actually comfortable with your weakness. You are comfortable in being vulnerable because you know that you have a Father who loves you and that you have submitted your whole life to this loving heart of our God. If you go through so many of the parables, so many of the stories, Jesus says, it's do not fear, do not worry, because God will provide. You know, you don't have to worry about your clothing. You don't have to worry about your possessions, your house, your money, because God will provide. That's scary. Anyone who's ever tried that, that's scary. Particularly when you got debts loading up, you got a mortgage. You may have just lost your job and you're like, okay, God, how are you going to do this? He doesn't ever say it's got to be comfortable. He doesn't ever say that it's going to be easy. But what he does say is trust. Trust that God will be there. place yourself in that place of vulnerability. As you encounter that horrible side of our humanity where we are helpless, that's where we actually encounter God. If you are running away from that place, you're never really discovering the true heart of Jesus, the true heart of the Father. Now, I always find this fascinating. I mean, this is kind of my own little theological take on this passage in Genesis here. If you actually look at where the Garden of Eden is, it talks about how it was bordered by, you know, the Euphrates, and it mentions a few other rivers which people suggest are kind of down around near Egypt and kind of around near Saudi Arabia. The rough geography of the Garden of Eden is what we now know as Israel. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, but they were still in the same land. It almost suggests to us that the Garden of Eden is not so much a physical geography, but rather a state of being. It's this place of dependency on God. The Israelites end up stuck in Egypt in slavery. God calls them out back to the promised land. And what is the promised land? It's relationship with God. It's that place of submitting yourself to this God who will be Father to you. Whenever they do that, they receive the blessing. God provides. God will shower them with blessings. As soon as they sin, as soon as they take things into their own hands, all the curses come upon them. All the curses that Moses mentions in Deuteronomy. They suddenly step out of the Father's house once again. Now, Israel has never been a safe place. It's always been stuck between warring empires, deciding to use that as their battleground. It's almost as though God decided that will be the place where you will have to be dependent, because your life will constantly be at risk. The Assyrians will come down from the north. The Egyptians will come up from the south. Everyone's going to try and trample on you, try and force you to take an alliance and side with somebody, with some political power. Trust me. Don't make alliances. Don't side with the world. But trust me that I will be your God and you'll be my people. The constant message through the prophets. Jesus comes in and says the same thing. Your life will be surrounded by, seems like, warring empires. All these tensions pulling you in different places, threatening your existence. The temptation will be to side with the world, to make alliances with the world of finance or the world of politics or just the world of power in relationships, to try and get control over your life. And yet God is there saying, trust me. Become like little children. In the midst of being in that vulnerable place, you will discover that I'm a faithful God. It's a hard place to live. But that's the call of Jesus. And the fact that he goes there first, he almost says to us, you can go there confidently because I've gone there. I've gone into the desert. I've gone into that place. And as it says, after the temptation, the angels came and waited on him. Only after the temptation, mind you. Only after he was taken to the edge. But that's our journey. As followers of Christ, as those who desire to live under that protecting hand of the Father, we will be in that really uncomfortable place. We will be tempted to sin, to take things into our own hands, to take control, to fight for survival. And yet, if we can trust that God is in control, he is Lord. He is the Lord of the universe. He knows what he's doing. Nothing happens in our life without God allowing it to happen. Without his hand being in control. That's the promise of God. So as we go deeper into this time of Lent, the church has always used the image of going deeper into the desert. You know, the 40 years that the Israelites took going through the desert to the promised land. This is our journey now. We try and represent this in a physical way by fasting, by self-denial, stripping away some of these fig leaves that we hold onto so tightly. So we can actually realize how tightly we're clinging onto them. As we remove them from our life, we suddenly feel that nakedness. You know, I can't survive without that coffee that I've given up for the next 40 days. I can't survive without the internet that I may have fasted from. We suddenly realize what are the things we're grasping to, what are the things we're dependent on. But the call is to hear the voice of the Father in the midst of that, who says, I am enough for you. My love is enough. Trust me.